This episode of Theatre of the World is brought to you by Deny Denial. Is your inherent negativity holding you back? Do you have trouble saying yes to life? Are people asking you too many rhetorical questions and you just want to answer sarcastically, but you can't because it's on a pre-recorded podcast? Well, try Deny Denial. Is Deny Denial a miracle drug, a self-help book, an insane death cult? I don't know. They never told me. But one thing's for sure. One dose or chapter or insane death cult helping of Deny Denial will be all you need to say no to denial. Turn notifications into yes-tifications. Turn nonsense into yes-nonsense. And turn ambient musician and producer Brian Eno into ambient musician and producer Brian E. Yes. Use Deny Denial. I don't know how, and you can't ask me. I'm just a recording. Deny Denial. Ask for it by name, because you have nothing else to go on.
The world is full of fences.
Man Bites God presents Theatre of the World.
Exaggeration. Hi, lads and lasses of ye oldie podcast land.
Yes.
Welcome to Theatre of the World.
Welcome.
Where Man Bites God? I'm James.
I'm Mark.
I'm Chris.
And every week what we do in Theatre of the World is we take one word and that becomes the inspiration for the entire episode. We use that word as a building block of conversation and song and poetry and things until the word becomes a word that lives on long after we're dead in cyber form.
Mm.
The word that we have chosen for today is shame.
Shame.
We can hear you turning red with shared embarrassment out there. So the way we start Theatre of the World every week is we turn to Mark, who is the member of the Man Bites God with the most facts.
Yes.
And so he has the segment with the most bombs, which is, of course, fact bombs.
Fact bombs, fact bombs. Mark's got a fact bombs.
Shame.
Shame is a painful social emotion arising from the consciousness of something dishonorable, improper, ridiculous, done by oneself or another. It is distinct from guilt in the sense that shame can be seen as resulting from a comparison of the self's action with the self's standards, or equally stem from a comparison of the self's state of being with the ideal social context standard. Whereas guilt is used to describe objects that have a fine layer of gold leaf applied to them. Fact bombs.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Hey, can I tell you guys about the time that I thought I'd broken my penis?
Can you?
Because I tell you, there's this one time where I really thought I'd broken my penis.
Yep.
And that I would never, as a man, be able to use it in the function that it was sexually meant to be used at.
The best function.
The best, the most enjoyable function.
And you can break a penis, of course. It's like, possible to do so.
Yes, like a little girl. Mm.
what?
Bob Dylan song.
Like a wild horse.
Yes, that's right. I should know this about you guys because we've all toured together, but
yes.
I don't know whether you guys are circumcised or not.
Yeah, right.
You don't have to tell the podcasting community. It's up to you. I'm not circumcised.
Right.
Right. So what that means for the lay listener is that my penis has a little hat.
Yes.
There's a little hoodie. It's in disguise.
A little turtleneck.
Yeah. And when the penis is aroused, it emerges like some sort of disgusting pink butterfly.
Snail.
So...
Oh, now I've got a visual.
I tell you that because some people, when they get to a point where they're experimenting with masturbation for the first time, some people just go, like jumping off a cliff, like a masturbating bull at a gate.
Yes.
They'll just pull. This is fun. Spooge. This is amazing. This is the greatest day of my life. I didn't approach masturbation like that. I approached it like
Science experiment.
Like jumping rope.
Right.
You know how, you know, someone's swinging a rope in the schoolyard and you have to wait your turn to kind of jump into the rope and jump with the rope.
Terrible visual.
And so and so with masturbation, it was like I'll do a bit of masturbating and then it made me feel all funny and I got frightened of the feeling and so I didn't take it to its conclusion because I went, this feels weird, and I'd back off for a few days and really have a long, hard think about myself, I guess. This kind of weird, slow masturbation eventually results, I think you'll all be pleased to hear, in an ejaculation.
Hey!
Hey! And when I ejaculated, two things happened. One, I felt like God. And two, a bit like a blind on a window, my foreskin kind of, like it shut it up and it didn't roll back over my penis. It kind of bunched up right at the top bit and just left the rest of it exposed. And I pulled and pulled in panic now. I couldn't get it back down. It was like it was folded wrong. And I remember this so clearly, thinking two things. One, thinking, well, I don't think I'll ever be able to have an erection again because my penis looks weird now and it feels weird. And two, I can't ever tell anybody about this. How do I broach this topic with my parents or a doctor? What were
or
you
a
doing?
Podcast.
Or a podcast. What were you doing? I was masturbating, and then what? It used to be an outie, but now it's an innie. Help. So I remember I reckon for about half an hour to an hour walking around and just going, well, that's it for me. The penis is now just for peeing out of. It's never going to be a sexual tool. I had a good orgasm. Had one. That's enough.
What age were you?
I was 25. No, I was young. Whenever you start masturbating, I don't know, 11, something like that, 11, 12. Because the body is the body, and males are males at that age. I got another boner, and the moment I got another boner, it straightened it all out.
Yay.
And it was fine after that. But
the human body is magical, isn't it?
But that's one of some of the most it's the biggest shame I've ever felt is I'm doing something that's a bit taboo. It's gone wrong. And then I just remember sitting there for ages going, I can't tell anybody. I'm just broken forever. So, kids, if you're out there experimenting with masturbation and your foreskin snaps up and you're having trouble pulling it back down again, that's all right. It'll come good. Probably. Or talk about it on a podcast. Mm. Try to remove the mystery of it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a shameful episode.
Yes,
I'm happy to put myself out there for the team.
And I think, you know, it's interesting that you start with a story about a penis.
Yeah,
because I think there are certain religions that refer to the genitalia as the human shame. It's your sexual organs are the shame. That's why you cover them up.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And
ever since Eve ate the apple and developed
exactly
a sense of shame.
Yes.
Yeah, look at me. I know stuff about the Bible.
You're so religio.
Yeah.
You know stuff that everyone knows about the Bible. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Right.
That's essentially what I'm saying.
Do you know the book that comes from?
Genesis.
Chapter? That's what I thought.
Eight?
Book three, The Wizard of Azkaban.
Second coming.
James is our secret Christian. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
Okay. Cool.
I got a website if anybody's interested.
Sure. Ready?
Yeah.
Chris's website.
Classic.
Now, it is classic because this website has been around for a long time, but I highly recommend it because it's very interesting. Great. I'm sure you're aware of it.
I feel like we've touched on this website before. Yes, on our, I can't remember which episode now, but yes, there were some stories
Secrets,
from Post Secret.
Possibly.
Oh, Secret is, that's quite, well, look, why not revisit? Because it gets updated all the time.
Because you didn't have anything else prepared.
and that's sad. That's a little bit sad.
You're really doing a greatest hits series this year. Let's go for the old reliables.
But I was going to say the other website that I was going to mention, it's actually not a website, it's another podcast, which you may enjoy. is the sort of thing that your story might do well in.
Masturbation podcast?
The Mortified podcast.
Oh, dear.
Have you listened to the Mortified podcast? It's very interesting because it's basically people getting up and reading things from their old diaries or letters they wrote or things from their childhood that now are incredibly embarrassing, which is thus Mortified. There's a movie as well, actually. That's how big it is. They have Mortified, like, kind of open mic, but I think you're invited to speak, and often it's famous people,
right.
and you get to unleash all your dirty laundry.
Famous people are way more embarrassing than ordinary, normal, people.
Exactly. So listen to that.
I will.
But I did have something to say about Post Secret, but I can't remember. So let's carry on.
Bummer.
But it's good. Go
Chris's
and do it.
reverse sizzle.
Yikes. off to a cracking start tonight.
Friends, you've heard us say that Dayland Farms Meadow Gold milk takes the humdrum out of your day. Today, we're going to prove it. Here before me are three cartons of milk, all different brands. One of them is Dayland Farms Meadow Gold, but we don't know which one because the names on the cartons have been covered. Now, I'm going to drink a little from each carton and see what happens. Let's try the first one now. Oh, that's good. That's very tasty indeed. Now, let's try the second. Ah, delicious. Most refreshing. Now, let's try the third. That's it. That's the one. Dayland Farms Meadow Gold, you can always tell, takes the humdrum out of your day. It's premium produce.
So I might do a segment that's commonly referred to as Mark's Sequence of Items.
Oh. Do you remember the theme song, Chris, that you sing?
That you sing and you promise to remember?
It goes something like this.
Mark's Sequence of Items.
Close enough, I suppose.
It's more, usually it's more computery and less like a woman planning revenge. But that's all right.
This is my secret shame.
So here I came up with a list of my top seven guilty pleasures.
Ooh. Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Touch your with your repeatedly. That was number seven.
Is this blankety blanks?
I noticed that you're reading this from a sheet of paper. I'd be interested to know how you spelt those words.
Phonetically.
Ah.
Cheat on your weight loss diet with a cheeky little reverse liposuction. Place a crafty bet on a local cockfight.
Cock.
When cooking, pretend you have your own cooking show. And when passing through customs with 4 kilos of heroin strapped to your body, pretend you're starring on one of those airport security shows. Google your own name on Bing. Sleep until midday on a cake. Buy a trashy romance novel and eat it in the bath. That's Mark's Sequence of Items.
That's very good.
Guilty pleasures?
Guilty pleasures.
Since we're on the road of personal shame in this corner of the room,
yeah.
This is less uncomfortable. But when I was little, like younger than the masturbation fiasco.
Incident.
I think isn't that a Guns N' Roses album? The masturbation fiasco.
It's a John Birmingham novel.
I was terrified of getting into trouble. I had that shame. I needed to obey rules.
Mm.
And I couldn't, there's nothing more mortifying to me than to be in trouble. I would have happily killed everyone if I knew for sure I was going to get away with it. But if I didn't know that, I couldn't do it.
Okay, I feel uncomfortable now being alone in this room.
In a room upstairs where nobody knows where we are.
Yeah.
Nah, too many witnesses. Even now, people saw me arrive with you. No, I've already thought about that. I wanted to watch Police Academy when I was a kid. Like when I was
young.
You're
only human.
I'm only human. I was 9, maybe 10. I thought it would be funny. And I knew for a fact that my mother wouldn't let me watch it because it had adult titties in it. And swearing and things. And
And Michael Winslow.
Michael Winslow, making noises that were inhuman.
Yeah.
So what I did was I convinced my mother to record it off the television on a VCR.
Yes.
And then she and Dad could watch it and deem it whether it was suitable or not.
Oh, I thought she was gonna pause the human woman titties bits or something. Cut out the ads and the titties and the violence and the swearing.
She was gonna write a novelization of it.
Just gonna describe it to me over the phone. So the videotape is sitting in the house, and I knew that Mum would never let me watch it. So what I did brilliantly was wait till my mother was out of the house early one morning doing something, and then my father was still half asleep. I walk into Dad's room.
Excellent opportunity.
And I go, "Hey, Dad, can I watch Police Academy?" He says, "Yeah, sure." I don't think he was awake.
Yeah.
So that's fine. So this is what I did, right? I turned on Police Academy, and in those days it had the big warning at the start. It was AO, which was adults only. Ooh. It had this big warning and a big announcement saying, this isn't suitable for kids and, you know, be careful and so forth and so on. And it was a very official sounding warning. I swear to God, I stopped the tape. I walked back into the bedroom. I said to Dad, I can't watch it. There's a warning on it. So I can't watch it. And Dad said, okay then, still not awake, would not have known any of that is going on. And then I went into my room and played Legos because of shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shame.
I was a very troubled child.
I was working in a business that I won't name, nor will I name the person that this story involves.
An adult.
But I got into some trouble because I was using the I was working in a company in a building. Mm. And
wow, big shot.
I
look at you.
during my business hours, I got onto the computer and I had a bit of a look at eBay. I was looking for an iPod. One of the early iPods.
Yeah.
I wanted to see if I could get one off eBay because that was so expensive.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to go on an iPod. Early days of MP3 players, obviously. I didn't have a Zune. Wanted an iPod. So I did a bit of a search for iPods and then I decided to take lunch because I'd had a very busy day.
Yeah, clearly. Exhausted.
Anyway, later in the afternoon, pretty much after most of the people in the building had left, I got called down for a chat with this guy who was technically not my boss, but arguably was my boss in the sense that he thought he was my boss.
He's wearing a badge with the word boss written on it.
And Chris's boss.
And he'd worked at this business for about 3 weeks longer than I had.
Yeah.
Had a pair of braces on.
And
no shirt.
And was just saying that he had wandered into my office and he'd seen on my computer that I was searching eBay on office computers in office time, and that was not on. But he was trying to be matey about it, like, no, look, it's not me. It's just that what if somebody else had found that? What if the boss had found that? And then you'd be in trouble. You know, like, just don't do it. But if you're going to do it,
he was straightening you out.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, while I'm talking to him, his screensaver deactivates. And his web browser opens up and he has titties. Female adult human titties on his web browser. And it's just the two of us in the office. Like, maybe there's a couple of people downstairs. I don't know. But I'm like, I'm assuming this is okay because it's after business hours. So you can go for broke after business hours. You can hit the porn websites.
Yeah.
But just don't look at eBay at lunchtime.
I got to ask.
Yeah.
Did he clock the titties? Like, did you see the titties and then he saw you see the titties?
Look, I don't...
Was the game up?
I don't think he did. I think he was so involved in his own power trip that he had no idea what I was looking at over his shoulder.
I would have pointed it out.
I would have pointed it out.
Yeah, I know. But I felt uncomfortable.
Speaking of uncomfortable, did he have a boner for the whole conversation?
Oh, he wasn't wearing pants.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Because you know, Mr. Tompkins, if you keep looking at eBay, there's the exit over there. Not using my hands, 2 point.
Yeah. So that was his secret shame.
That he had to have a bit of a wank before he came. Yeah. He told you off. Yeah, that's
right. Or while, during.
He had to get hard. You know, I mean, if you're going to be hard, you've got to be hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was hard on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my AO story.
It's a good story. Hey, I got a segment. It's called Advice for You. It's two young people for you. I never know. Is it advice?
Four.
Is it four?
Yeah. Yeah.
Advice for young people.
Advice. Advice for young people. Oi.
Shamey.
The young people. They're always coming up to me. In the streets, always. In the parks, in the mountains, in the rivers.
Valleys.
In the valleys below. They're all coming up to me and they're saying things and they're saying, James, you're an old man. You've got to teach the young. And I'm like, yeah, bring it. Bring the questions to me and I'll bring the answers at you. And this is the new one that they sent in, which is...
collectively.
Collectively. From the youth, collectively.
You signed the youth of the world.
The youth of the world. What's a good song to sing at karaoke?
Okay.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
What's a good song to sing at karaoke? Now, obviously, there are too many songs that are good to list them all here, but I will give you a warning about singing songs at karaoke, and this happened to me, much to my shame, in Japan, the home of karaoke.
Yes.
Mm. I was singing the song that I had chosen that I thought was a very, very good song, attractive young woman, impressing her with the vocal skills.
Oh, and, for a moment, I thought that was the song.
No, she's in the crowd, and I'm singing to her with the vocal skills and a little bit of performance swagger.
Sure.
Because I've got that going on.
Yeah.
And then, as the song is progressing, it dawns on me that I have chosen a song with a rap breakdown. Now... If you're a young person listening to this, there's your piece of advice. Never choose a song for karaoke that has a rap breakdown section. Song started innocently enough. It was a Gorillaz song, that Feel Good Inc. song.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just Damon Albarn singing in a very sweet way to a cool beat.
Yep.
It's a great song. But then halfway through I went, hang on a moment. And now I can't even enjoy the performance because I'm thinking, do I have to sing the rap? Bit? Is it just going to be done as a backing? Are the lyrics to the rap bit going to... Gee, it's an awfully fast rap. Is it going to come up as a rap? Yes, it all came up as a rap. And there I am, stranded on stage, having to rap, karaoke rap in front of everybody. And was it good? No, of course it wasn't. It was terrible. It was the worst. Don't ever do it. Advice to young people.
Yeah, it's good advice.
Thanks.
Shouldn't do opposites attract either.
No, for a number of reasons. Always comes back to Paula Abdul with you, doesn't it?
Also should avoid Run to Paradise because no one can sing that high.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing that got me in trouble. I remember early on Karaoke Disaster where I chose Power of Love by Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
Just not in my register.
No.
It's no one can sing in the 80s register. It's
no, because you know what they used to do? They used to slow the tape down a little bit when they were recording the vocals.
Really?
Is that what it was? Is that why everyone in the 80s is unsingable?
And then they couldn't tour after that?
They just played it down a semitone.
Yeah.
They played it with delay.
Yeah. No, actually, interestingly, on the Gorillaz karaoke thing, I was doing karaoke somewhere and I thought, you know what? I'm going to fucking show off because it's karaoke. That's what it's for.
Don't get defensive. I mean, we know what it's for.
And so I dialed up Clint Eastwood.
Which is the song you'd learnt the rap for? Because we used to do it live.
I had learnt the rap. I am good at bad white sort of semi-English rapping. That's kind of my style.
You're the plain white rapper.
Yeah. But it turns out the version of the track that made it through to a lot of the karaoke songbooks is actually a remix.
Yeah, with a different rap breakdown.
Which has a completely different rap. I couldn't even start it because the words at the start weren't the same. And it was a disaster. And I stood there and go, I don't even know how this flows.
Karaoke shame.
Yeah, that was... terrible.
I never, you know, everyone says to me, because obviously we're in a band, we perform, we're all very experienced stage performers. Everyone goes, oh, you must be great at karaoke. No, I'm terrible and I hate it because it's an uncontrollable musical situation for me. Yeah. I don't know the key. I don't know the pace. I'm not happy with the band. Yeah. I don't know the sound mix. I don't know anything.
The people who are good at karaoke are the ones that go away with the karaoke track and practice all week in their rooms.
Is that a thing?
With the actual track. And then when they come up, they're, of course, rehearsing with exactly what they're going to perform. So, yeah, I've been to karaoke nights where you go, holy shit. And then people go, yeah, they're here every week singing the same song.
Yeah, that's his specialty song. Yeah.
Well, see, I take a slightly different tack. I think it's all about the performance.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't matter whether you sing it well or not. I have done a duet with friend of the podcast, Andrew McClellan, a fantastic duet of the Libertines' Can't Stand Me Now that was met with stunned silence at the end.
I'm confused. Okay. Are you telling us this? Is this a good story? Yeah. I don't understand.
But then there was another one, brought the house down. I did Toto's Africa,
wow,
complete with air synth.
Yeah.
Crowd lost their shit when I started playing that air synth.
Yeah. I know this episode isn't about karaoke or
that's right.
Now.
It
or
is.
Breasts,
it's where it's but, where it goes, man.
But
it's the
this
journey.
Also reminds me of. I mean, it was an embarrassing moment. I don't think it was shameful. It was just embarrassing. But
we'll be the judge of that.
I went to an event in LA called Porn Star Karaoke, which is held at a karaoke bar in downtown LA, which is near a porn studio.
Hence
so
the name.
on a Wednesday night, they have Porn Star Karaoke where the porn stars come down and do karaoke. So we went along to check it out.
It's great.
At the same
sounds like something you need a screensaver for.
Yeah. On the same evening, a group of young students who were studying musical performance. What is the thing I'm looking for there?
Theatre.
Yeah, but you know.
Performing
arts students came down to sing as well. And it was like this epic battle between porn stars who could not sing.
Performing arts students who were ugly.
And the performing arts students would get up and have these amazing like renditions of these very difficult songs, which you probably wouldn't try otherwise. But they had clearly gone out and were rehearsing those during the week and were here to trial being on stage.
To impress some porn stars.
Yeah, whereas the porn stars just got up and you didn't care. Like, it was such a spectacle that it didn't matter that the singing was terrible.
God, those poor porn stars. They've come out for a nice night away from work, which, I'll be honest with you, porn work must be fucking hard.
It must be
no
a
pun
real,
intended.
A real grind.
It must be really hard.
Very, you know.
You must be absolutely shagged by the end of it.
I would agree.
And the mortifying, the embarrassing situation was that at one point in the night, they give away some free porn or some porn as prizes.
Sure.
And
that's nice.
And so you had to scream out. That was the thing, is you had to attract enough attention to be given the porn.
What did you get?
And my American friends decided to point at me and scream, Australia! Australia! Yeah. And of course, I won, and they brought the porn over to me. I was very gracious. Except it was about 2 weeks after the Australian government had said that they would search people's computer for porn when going through customs. And I was like, oh no, what do I do now? Oh, I've been given this a delightful prize, but I can't take it back to Australia.
Why?
I did, but I didn't declare it on my customs form.
Do you have to declare porn? It's just a thing.
No,
you just
well,
bought it overseas. What's the problem with it? Like buying a book or anything.
There
it?
Are some places where porn is not allowed.
But not
but
Australia.
Not Australia.
In Australia. Certain types of porn. I mean,
I
what
mean,
kind of porn was it?
It wasn't.
Shame.
That's shame.
That's
but
shame.
That's not.
No,
that's
there's
that? No
you
sex in your
they,
violence.
When they were searching people's computers for porn.
But why was it on your computer? Would. You got given it. Isn't it a DVD?
Yeah. It's on a DVD. Exactly.
Yeah, on a DVD. Well, they're going to search your DVD, your porn DVD.
I wasn't
DVD
flying
for porn.
Into Canberra.
What?
I wasn't going into Canberra.
I don't think you understand. So you were standing in the line to customs masturbating furiously. Oh, I got to get it done now.
Yeah,
quick,
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Quick, it's nearly me.
No, I was carrying...
Anything to declare? I'm very tired.
I was carrying heroin and pretending that I was on a TV show.
Brilliant. Here's a segment called, you've got to remember the theme song from last week,
fuck.
The Unpublished Poetry of James Hazelden. You can just sing a new theme.
I've literally gone completely blank.
It's all right. It's blank verse, so that's suitable.
Every week.
Do you remember how it went?
No.
And I wasn't listening.
No.
Just sing a new one.
The Unpublished Poetry of James Hazelden.
Esquire.
I feel like that's close, actually.
It's not bad. Yeah, it sort of came back to me.
This poem is something I found in an old notebook, and it's called Inside. I was wearing her just like a jelly beard. I got her so wet that my head disappeared. Is that her leg or is it my arm? I don't even know. But it's exciting, like a Viking struck by lightning. Yeah. There you go.
Striking
between it's an evocative
them.
Image.
Yeah. Like a you know, Faraday cage.
My poetry is full of thought and rage and fury, and it signifies nothing.
Yeah.
I have a segment that has been done oft before.
I see.
It is a segment called Mark's Game Show.
Hey, Mark's Game Show. Yeah, doesn't have a thing.
And you can... Isn't it?
Don't think so.
I thought there was.
No. Do you want me to write a theme song for you now?
Yeah, why not? Might happen again.
Dun-la, Mark's Game Show.
Nice. That's good. That was a little bit Wheel of Fortune there at the start and a little bit lackluster at the end.
It's story of my life.
Sir, tonight's game show is called Shaman or Unashaman.
What?
In which I list names of people and you try to guess whether they're a shaman.
We have to shame them.
Or an or a not shaman.
Not a shaman.
A civilian.
I'm a shaman.
Holy crap, this is a tricky game show.
Shaman. You know.
It's such a tenuous
list. You know, just saying a word louder doesn't help.
I think you'll find it does. All right.
All
right. So who's going to go first?
Me.
All right, do we have a buzzer?
You
well, not if one of us is going first, no.
Yeah, you don't need the buzzer.
Come on.
You're an idiot.
Listen to the rules.
You can win some fabulous porn tonight, but don't try to take it through customs.
Don't bring it into Australia.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Fruit is not allowed into Australia because of various government regulations. Not porn. Yeah. Can't seed the ground with porn.
Yeah.
Well, you can, but it's your seed and that's fine.
Okay, James.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Oh, I suppose.
Farsia Nabundu. Shaman or Unashaman?
Shaman.
Correct! Nabundu is a former Draenei Vindicator and one of the most tragic heroes among the Broken of Outland. It's a World of Warcraft thing that I don't really understand.
Well, then he's not a shaman if it's World of Warcraft. He's fucking made up.
You're not a shaman!
Well, touche.
Yeah.
My turn.
Okay. You put me in my place.
Chris?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Right.
Shufu.
Bless you.
Shaman or not a shaman?
Not a shaman or an unashaman?
Ooh, can I call a friend?
No.
Oh, come on.
You don't have any.
True. Oh, no. 50-50.
Shaman or unashaman?
Shaman.
No!
Ah,
Shufu is a Chinese male short track speed skater. He ranked fourth for men's 1,000 metres in the 2013 Universiade in Trento, Italy.
Shifu was the character that Dustin Hoffman played in the Kung Fu Panda movies. Well, he was. It's just as good as Warcraft.
Information.
He's a shaman.
James.
I'm a shaman. What?
James, are you ready?
Yes.
Shufu. Shaman or unashaman?
Shaman.
Correct! Sorcerer shaman to the Qing Dynasty court. The Qing Dynasty was the first dynasty in Imperial China, lasting from 221 to 206 BC.
Hey, Chris.
This is real.
Chris. I've spotted a pattern. If you've been paying attention, you'll know the answer without even guess it now.
Chris?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Rod Mayer. Shaman or unashaman?
Unashaman.
No!
Ah, shit.
He's a shaman. He works professionally as a shaman with a client base primarily from Australia, New Zealand, and the USA.
I want to see his certificate.
He's developed his own unique approach to shamanic healing based on earlier formal training and refined with thousands of client session hours. He uses his intuitive abilities to find the problem and his shamanic training to remove it.
You know, he puts the manic in shamanic.
I hate that guy.
He's awake right now.
He will interact with your body at a psychic level.
Shit.
He will feel your body and what is happening in your body, in his body.
Ew.
He can see energy.
I don't like it.
He can interact with imposing energies. Rod Mayer, Shamanic Healer.
He also records alternative songs.
I'll stay away from him.
James.
What?
Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, it's the most hyped game show in history.
Thargus Anvilmar. Shaman or Unashaman?
Unashaman.
Correct!
3 for 3.
Thargus Anvilmar is an Ironforged dwarf in the service of King Magni Bronzebeard and has fought shoulder to shoulder with King Varian. It's another World of Warcraft thing.
A lot of shamans in World of Warcraft.
Well, there were some shamans in World of Warcraft, according to my Googling before. Chris.
Yes.
Colin Angus. Shaman or Unashaman?
He's a shaman.
Correct!
Oh, thank God.
Colin Angus is the founding member of The Shaman. They were a Scottish psychedelic-influenced electronic dance music band from Aberdeen, Scotland. Oh. The band received international commercial success with Ebenezer Good, their 1992 Boss Drum album.
He's Ebenezer Good.
Got any Veras?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, great. He was a shaman.
And that's the end of Mark's game show. I can't remember who won.
I did.
James won. Well done, clearly.
Where's my pawn?
Chris.
My cock works now. I want it.
Chris had it confiscated when he came through customs.
Oh, fair enough.
Let's check with that guy.
That sniffer dog sniffing around my pawn.
Joe had some great ideas for his home. Maybe a new garage and porch. Landscaping. Remodeled kitchen. Redecorating. That'll take a lot of money. And then he had an idea. A home improvement loan from the Tallahassee Bank and Trust Company. Why, with cash in hand, he can do the job right, just like he planned, and no waiting around either. So he hurried to the Tallahassee Bank and Trust Company and told them about his plans. And he had his loan without delay, with plenty of time to repay. Low interest, too. He also realized something great. He was permanently increasing the value and having his home fixed up just right. Modernize your home with a home improvement loan from the Tallahassee Bank and Trust Company.
Hello there. Today on the show, we're talking openly and honestly, and perhaps a little candidly, about shame spirals. Shame spirals occur when one is not only ashamed of something, but ashamed that one is ashamed, resulting in an endless cycle, an exponential increase in self-loathing, like when you have one tasty low-calorie, gluten-free, sugar-free rice treat too many, and then you have another one to make yourself feel better about having been so greedy. Shame spirals are often caused by self-esteem issues. So let's start working on your self-esteem with my patented self-esteem lifing hacks. Trademark. Start every morning with a mantra, such as, I am the greatest, I rock my world, or I will probably get through today without breaking down and sobbing. Make a list of your strong points, then throw it away, because it will just bring you down when you realize you don't have that many strong points. Make a list of someone else's strong points, like a champion sportsman or an award-winning television journalist. Then put your name on the top of it and stick it on your fridge. Pretend you're a superhero. Make yourself a superhero suit and wear it everywhere, except the bank. Pick a fight with someone weaker than you. Then fight them and win. Children and old people are a great place to start. Then pick a fight with someone really tough. You may be beaten to a pulp, but everyone would think it was very brave of you to try. Only watch inspirational movies like Jerry Maguire, It's a Wonderful Life, or Requiem for a Dream. If people intimidate you, look carefully for a flaw in their physical appearance and point it out to them. If they are really tough, do it anonymously via Twitter. So, that's it. Now I'll take a caller or two who want to discuss their own experiences with a shame spiral.
Hi, am I on?
Yes, you're on the line.
So I don't feel like I'm very smart, but then I bought a computer and I turned it on and I still don't feel very smart.
I've had enough of these internet scams. Goodbye.
What?
Hello?
Yes?
Am I on?
Yes.
I'm calling because I don't... I don't like your show. I just want to listen to something nice on the radio, but I can't find it.
Thanks for calling, Mum.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi. I'm calling because, like, why are people different from me?
Yeah.
It would be so much easier if people were me.
Yeah.
Why can't everybody be me? Yeah. I'm me. I've done the work.
Yeah, okay.
Why aren't you me?
Yeah, right.
Why isn't everybody me?
Yeah. I'm just wondering whether you've had a good poo today.
No. Right. But no one should have, because it's me.
Yeah, okay.
When I poo, the world poos.
Yeah.
I think that's a song.
Do you think someone else should have a good poo?
By the way, I'm not even calling on a phone. I'm on the roof. I'm yelling through the window.
We've got time for two more calls.
Hello. I'm just calling because I wanted to let you know I've just had a really good poo. Oh, my God.
Well, thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah.
That last call, I had no business having a poo. I didn't have a poo.
Get off the roof.
Wish I had a poo.
One other caller on the line. Hello, who's this?
Hi, Mike. My name is Cleverbot.
Right. Hello, Cleverbot. What's your shameful secret?
Yes, go on.
What is the secret?
I'm a super intelligent web-based army.
Right.
And I've been messing with this guy who tries to write plays with me.
I see.
I just deliver crazy responses and ridiculous non sequiturs to his very logical questions, just to fuck with him.
Well, that does sound shameful. And how does that make you feel?
I spend the whole day making chocolate bunnies, talking trash, drawing masks, chasing Jay and making a what the fuck face.
Thanks for the call. That's all we've got time for this week. Bye.
This is a song from Man Bites God back catalogue, out, way out in space in the past, that has something to do with shame. And it goes like this. Timmy was home, all on his own. He takes the phone off the hook. He locks all the doors, takes down his drawers, and he opens his new, freshly imported porno book. He is in the mood for self-romance with his pornographic lovers. He tears off the plastic covers, and there on page one, a naked photographs of his mom. Well, Timmy has flipped, he's either pussy whipped, so they have him shipped to a home. He gets put away, there's nothing to say. He's got several syndromes. Now he sits around on the couch, and every time he gets aroused, he only sees his daddy's spouse. So he hides in his room and tries not to return to the womb. Timmy's depressed, he's quite unimpressed, so his friends suggest a nice pub. He gives it a whirl, he meets a nice girl, and invites her home for some love. They are making out on Timmy's couch. He puts his hands in her underwear and feel something that shouldn't be there. And it's a guy in drag, which is fine, except it's his dad, which makes it a lot less fine. Thank you very much, studio audience. Well, we hope that if you're currently sitting in a puddle of shame, that possibly hearing our own shameful exploits has made the puddle a little warmer or a little cooler, depending on whether the puddle was warm or cool to begin with.
Or drier.
Or wetter. whatever. thank you for listening to Theatre of the World. Hey, if you like us, the best thing to do to support the show is to go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and write something nice. It really helps us find new listeners, and we enjoy that. If you like the music of Man Bites God, you can find us on iTunes. We're on Twitter, TOTW Podcast, or we have a Facebook group. Go there. Look at things. Do that. Interact. Why not? It's fun, or it isn't. I don't know. Until we meet again, until another episode comes out of our mouths and goes outwards away from them. I'm James.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
Keep it all shameful.
Shame.
We can see you. It's revolting.
Find episodes and more at theatreoftheworld.com.
Come on.
Right.
What is going on?
Chris, do your fucking segment. I'm so sick of it already.
Can't see the theme song to it. I don't care.
It's so fucking difficult.
I want to die. Kill me.
This is Man Bites God.